Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Friday, July 26th. I'm Lauren Schmidt, reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, fires in Humboldt and Mendocino see good progress. California State University system finally complies with native repatriation laws after 3 decades. And the KMUD News Sports Report. Stay tuned, news on those stories and more coming right up. The Hill Fire, 8 miles south of Willow Creek, has burned just over 7,100 acres and is now 17% contained. Despite concerns due to a slop over on the eastern flank, firefighters say the line is now holding steady. That's according to the California Interagency Management Team report. Crews have made significant progress, but evacuation warnings and orders remain in place in both Humboldt and Trinity counties. This morning's briefing, which you can find on the Facebook page 2024 Hill Fire, emphasized the primary focus for firefighters is the Sugarloaf Mountain area, with around-the-clock efforts to maintain control lines. Increased humidities and lower temperatures have aided tactical firing operations, which aim to move the fire down Sugarloaf Mountain towards Forest Road 5N14, creating a containment perimeter. Operations have been slow due to the steep terrain and safety concerns. Control lines on the north, west, and south are stable, with crews mopping up and patrolling these areas. Contingency lines are being constructed to the south along Hennessy Ridge to the east. The Structure Defense Group is collaborating with local agencies to protect residences and roadways at risk. Today's weather conditions are expected to improve, with increased humidity and cooler temperatures below 80 degrees. Again, you can find the latest from the Hill Fire on its Facebook page, 2024 Hill Fire. In Mendocino County, the Grange Fire broke out Thursday evening, triggering evacuation orders for areas along both sides of the Highway 128 corridor and between Philo and Boonville. The fire initially spread at a dangerous rate. However, it would be slowed by air resources and nighttime humidities. Originally thought to be 125 acres, the fire is now mapped at 80, and its forward progress has been stopped.
My name is Scott Morgan. I'm the Acting Public Information Officer for the Grange Fire. Today, the temperature has gone down. It's a cooler day. I think the relative humidity has gone up a little bit. The winds are relatively stable, and I've recently learned that the weather conditions will probably be favorable for maybe another few days, but later in the week, it's going to heat up again. So it'll be a little bit harder to fight the fire, but I do know that forward progress has been stopped. You know, still at 80 acres, so it's been halted, and the containment's 5%. Weather conditions are starting to be favorable, so hopefully a whole bunch of progress can be done to contain it further. The outlook's relatively positive.
Only one zone near Vista Ranch Road remains under an evacuation order. One structure was destroyed, and 5 others were damaged. The United Disaster Relief of Northern California in Ukiah is offering services for those displaced due to the Grange Fire. For more information about their services or to volunteer and contribute, you can visit their website, udrnc.org, or you can phone them at 707-489-3970. In 1990, a federal repatriation policy was enacted to acknowledge the fundamental human rights of Native communities to their ancestral remains and cultural items. The law applies to all publicly funded institutions. The California State University System, or CSU, is the largest public university system in the United States and says it's committed to, quote, fully implementing the spirit as well as the legal requirements of both the Federal Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act, NAGPRA, and the state's California Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act, CalNAGPRA, end quote. However, one local university has been accused of withholding or delaying the repatriation process, while another has announced that it's moving forward. These revelations stem from a 2022 report by the state auditor titled "The California State University System Must Do More to Ensure the Timely Return of Native American Remains and Cultural Items to Tribes."
My name is Cintra Agee, and I am full-time tenure track assistant professor of Native American Studies at CR.
In June of this year, College of the Redwoods announced that it would be repatriating Native regalia and other items that have been a part of the college's collection since they were acquired in the late 1970s, in order to be in compliance with NAGPRA and other related laws, which made it pivotal to return Native cultural items to their respective tribes and descendants.
There is a federal NAGPRA law, and that acronym stands for the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act. And you're quite right that California has passed its own NAGPRA law. NAGPRA covers several excruciatingly important things and people that universities, colleges, museums, other educational and research institutes hold. So there is the thing of human remains and bringing tribes, tribal members and Native people, they're dead, their ancestors, you know, so that they can have their family members back. NAGPRA also covers any objects, funerary objects that were found when, quote unquote, excavating these graves.
College of the Redwoods states that it has never been in possession of human remains or funerary objects. However, the institution does hold over 200 important items of cultural patrimony, which are also protected under NAGPRA. The college says it's actively working to return these items to tribes or descendants of their rightful owners.
You know, one of the things about the repatriation process is that we hope working with tribal governments to get these pieces home will help the larger efforts to keep growing. California law really drives home that tribes are the ones that have the expertise and that their identification of tribal affiliation and their identification of lineal descendants are the bottom line. And that does so much for changing the paradigm and practices that museums and colleges and universities, and indeed, you know, much of our society has in terms of thinking about and interacting with tribes and Native people.
Universities and institutions across the state and across the country have been accused of violating NAGPRA laws. In 2022, it was discovered that the Peabody Museum at Harvard University possesses clippings from over 700 Native children who attended boarding schools, along with over 6,000 human remains. Descendants and tribes have issued statements condemning this collection and calling for their return. Locally, College of the Redwoods says its collection is comprised of 212 objects of Native basketry, regalia, and other utilitarian items, which were reportedly purchased from local tribes by a local educator.
CR purchased this collection in 1978 from Alice Spinas, and Alice had bought the majority of the collection was bought by Alice, but the great bulk of it, she bought these directly from, again, for the most part, from basket weavers, primarily during the 1930s and 40s. It was Alice was very interested in what it during that era was called the arts and crafts movement within art and art history. And, you know, these are sacred objects. They're not just arts and crafts. The artwork is extraordinary. The handicraft is mind-blowing, but she was very interested in them as pieces of art. And then near or on her death, CR purchased them, and that would have been 1978.
Despite NAGPRA mandating that museums and federal agencies return these items to the descendants or affiliated tribes, a recent audit of the CSU system revealed that nearly 700,000 remains and culturally important items still need to be returned, despite decades of opportunity to do so. Although the law was passed in the early 1990s, College of the Redwoods is now actively working to be in compliance with NAGPRA.
Well, CR intends to repatriate everything it has, the entire collection, if the tribe and or the lineal descendants want us to give them back, to get them home. There are cases in which a tribe or a lineal descendant has said, you know, we'd prefer you keep them there for a variety of reasons, et cetera. And so once we get into consultation, you know, it's, again, this is very much about tribal sovereignty. So they will make the decisions, they and lineal descendants of the basket weavers will be making the decision about how, when, and where they want the items repatriated or not.
CalNAGPRA creates additional protections at the state level, including provisions for tribes who are not federally recognized. These laws require agencies and institutions that receive public funding to inventory their collections and identify items subject to repatriation. And consulting with affiliated tribes and lineal descendants is critical. When asked which tribes have belongings currently held at College of the Redwoods, Professor Adji remarked that the answer is complicated.
These collections across the country, across the world, are notorious for, are, let's say, problematic. And we could go into all of the dynamics and injustices that and myopia, you know, and straight out ignoring Indigenous people that has plagued much of academia when it comes to Indigenous peoples and their living cultures, their living heritages. With all of that being said about tribal affiliation, the primary tribes represented in this collection are Yurok, Hupa, Wiat, and Kuk. And let's not forget that there are the rancherias have members with varying tribal identifications, and rancherias are something particular. It's very specific. They're only found in California, and they are characterized by being populated by folks that were from several different tribes that were put together after the ravages of forced and violent massacres and relocations.
In response to the state's audit, it was mandated that campus NAGPRA oversight committees be established. The 2022 report revealed that Cal Poly Humboldt was in violation of the act, as one of 12 campuses identified having repatriated zero objects, and is believed to be holding 21,900 cultural items. For more, we reached out to a tribal affairs representative at Cal Poly Humboldt. To help answer these questions and ensure belongings are returned appropriately, Indigenous leadership has been pivotal. In response to the state's audit, it was mandated that campus NAGPRA oversight committees be established. The 2022 report revealed that Cal Poly Humboldt was in violation of the act, as one of 12 campuses identified having repatriated zero objects, and is believed to be holding 21,900 cultural items. For more, we reached out to a tribal affairs representative at Cal Poly Humboldt.
My name is Adrienne Colgrove Raymond. I'm a special assistant to the president at Cal Poly Humboldt for tribal affairs and community engagement. I've been on campus for 24 years. I'm a member of the Hoopa Valley tribe and a descendant of Yurok as well.
While College of the Redwoods has publicly announced its intention to repatriate all of its items, Cal Poly Humboldt has not provided an update on its efforts, even after a bombshell report by the Times Standard in 2023. Notably, in 2018, Cal Poly Humboldt had the highest percentage of Native American students in the CSU system. So we asked how Indigenous students navigate the complexities of this issue within their educational institution.
You know, locally, we have a long history of advocates, Native people who've really worked really strongly to protect and our sacred sites, our cemeteries, tradition and culture of our Native people. And so we've been kind of cutting edge in respects to that. We've had great leaders who've kind of navigated that, because there has been so many instances where the people have really disregarded Native people and have, I know in the 70s and 60s and 70s earlier, perhaps, there was a lot of digging in the graves. I know we had some local things happen not recently up in Smith River and different areas of Trinidad. And so it's certainly a big concern for tribal people in particular. So working on a college campus and campuses have been, you know, violators in many regards to this across the nation in the studies of anthropology, archaeology, and such. So for Native people working on the campus, you know, it's certainly an issue and of concern, and trying to make sure that things are done right. In 1990, NAGPRA was the Native American Graves Protection Act was established to help, you know, protect some of the artifacts and return them home for museums and from colleges and such. And we as a campus, I would say, you know, programs that we have, our Native programs on campus, it's been an issue that students talk about. It's been an issue that Native American Studies certainly addresses in many of their classes and courses. Something that has kind of radiated since I've been on campus, we've been talking about it. And unfortunately, the colleges, the UCs in particular, have not responded to NAGPRA, and they've had a lot of opportunity to do so over the years. So I just would say that it's something, an issue that certainly has resonated with many of the faculty and staff on campus.
In 2022, the auditor reported that Cal Poly Humboldt did not have an active NAGPRA committee or policy in place and did not consult with tribes before reviewing collections. However, she said that has since changed.
In the fall of 2023, we've hired a NAGPRA coordinator who is going to be responsible, because the CSU is going to be held accountable for repatriating items. And the thing that is lacking or missing that has really stifled this process is that lack of policy and process and funding, you know, to make sure that this happens correctly. So the items at Humboldt, there was an inventory that was established in the early part of the year in 23. The items that we have on campus, it's my understanding that we don't have any human remains that we know of, and that the items are mostly, you know, chips and of rock and sediment and things like that. So I'm not sure how we're going to proceed, but our coordinator is looking into that. The first thing that she is doing is reaching out to all the tribes that have been involved that would have some lineage or some kind of connection to the items that we do have. And we recently, the CSU had held 10 listening sessions across the state. Cal Poly Humboldt was one of the hosts that we held about 2 weeks ago, where tribal leaders could come in, cultural and elected officials and community members could come in and share how they feel that the CSU, including Cal Poly, should move forward.
In an email to local reporter Sage Alexander with the Times Standard, Assemblymember Ramos, the first and only Native American serving in the state legislature, stated, quote, "It is a dishonorable and outrageous fact that Cal Poly Humboldt reported it had not returned any of the 21,900 items in its possession, despite the decades that have elapsed in which to comply with federal and state law," end quote. Since then, Assemblymember Ramos has held hearings and garnered the attention of the governor's office to put pressure on the CSU system to make things right.
Without a doubt, Assemblyman Ramos has been the leader in making things move forward and doing it through the governor's office, which impacts the California State University and the University of California as well, and working with the California Heritage Commission. So it's certainly been really a blessing to have him in there to help move this work forward.
The CSU will be working with the Native American Heritage Commission, the primary state agency responsible for identifying and cataloging Native cultural resources. And since the 2022 report, she says there's been significant movement with committees and oversight groups aimed at addressing these decade-long injustices. We ask what the timeline for these efforts might look like.
In the CSU, they are putting together tribal advisory committees on each college campus, the 23 campuses. And then there is an oversight committee, that's advisory committee, that is being set up to oversee the entire system, the CSU system. And that's being led by the California Heritage Commission and tribal folks there who are helping to decide who will be members of those advisory committees. Once those advisory committees, there's also a committee that's set up primarily of, well, it is Native people throughout the CSU system who are going to help implement under new policies that will be designed. And they'll be designed after this listening sessions, the NAGPRA listening sessions are completed and compiled.
According to the website nagpra.calstate.edu, on July 2nd of this year, the working draft was sent to tribes on the NHAC Cal NAGPRA's statewide contact list. This was accompanied by a letter from Chancellor Garcia notifying the tribes of the Chancellor's office intention to hold consultations this fall from September 1st through November 30th. The Chancellor's letter and the working draft are available on that website. One way that the state law goes beyond the scope of its federal counterpart is by stating that tribal traditional knowledge alone is sufficient evidence for establishing affiliation. So, in closing, Colgrove Raymond encourages all members of the Native community to participate in this process and to help heal historical injustices.
I think it's unfortunate that it has taken so long for entities across the nation, you know, to respond to the needs of tribal people. I think it's very good that we have leadership, tribal leadership in legislators who are helping us move these issues forward. And I think it's going to take commitment from our tribal people across the state to participate and make sure that they, when they are called, you know, to become advisors or to participate, that they actually, you know, rise to the occasion and get in there and have a voice, because tribal consultation is a requirement of the legislation, and it's important for us all to participate.
The California State University's Office of Advocacy and State Relations has released a working draft policy for tribal consultation purposes concerning NAGPRA and CalNAGPRA. The draft policy is now available for review and feedback for California Indian tribes. A 90-day tribal consultation period will run from September 1st to November 30th, during which tribes can request virtual, telephone, or in-person consultations. Additional policy development steps, including further consultation, will continue through July 1st, 2025. For more information and to review the working draft policy, you can visit that website, nagpra.calstate.edu. Tribes can also contact Michelle Hansen, an administrative support coordinator, at 562-951-4115 or by email at nagpra@calstate.edu. KMA News will continue to share updates.
Hello and welcome to this week's KMA News Sports Report. I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com. We'll have more on the weekend tournament in just a moment, and we'll also be looking at the other big local sports stories of the week, including how the Humboldt Crabs have put themselves in position to possibly compete in the inaugural Pacific Empire League Championship Series, all the latest local American Legion baseball news, how the McKinleyville 12-year-old All-Stars fared at their NorCal State tournament, and news of a local college golfer who was the recipient of a prestigious award this past week. But first up, it will be a busy weekend for several youth baseball teams as three local travel clubs get set to host the Rumble in the Redwoods tournament. The Six Rivers Kings, the Northern Humboldt Steelheads, and the Lost Coast Legends are all well used to traveling hundreds of miles to play in tournaments several times a year, but they won't have to travel very far this week. Beginning on Saturday, the Rumble in the Redwoods youth baseball tournament will feature brackets in four different age groups, with several several out-of-area teams joining the three host clubs here on the North Coast. The tournament will take place at three different locations around the county, including the Redwood Fields in Cutton. Tournament play will feature 10U, 11U and 12U brackets, as well as a combined 13U and 14U bracket. The 10s and 13-14s will play in Cutton, with the action getting underway early on Saturday and running through Sunday. The 11U's will play their games at the Fireman's Park in Ferndale, while the 12U's will play at Newburgh Park in Fortuna. All four brackets will feature pool play games on Saturday, with the tournament playoffs set for Sunday. The Humboldt Crabs, meanwhile, look set for an exciting conclusion to the 2024 summer season. This week, the Crabs split a two-game series with the West Coast Kings to remain in contention for a place in the inaugural Pacific Empire League Championship Series, which will take place next week. On Tuesday night, they lost 4-3 in 10 innings, but with their championship hopes on the line, the Crabs would bounce back on Wednesday with a comprehensive 13-2 win over the Kings. The series concludes league play for the Crabs, who are currently tied for second place in the standings with the Lincoln Potters, with both teams trailing league leaders, the Healdsburg Prune Packers. Now the Crabs must play the waiting game as they wait to see how the Potters fare in their final league series against the Solano Mudcats. If the Potters drop at least two of their three remaining league games this weekend, then the Crabs will advance to play Healdsburg in next week's three-game PEL Championship Series. But if the Potters win at least two of their three games, then they will advance to play the Prune Packers. Meanwhile, the Crabs will welcome the California Tigers to the Arcata Ballpark for a three-game non-league series this weekend. The action gets underway on Friday night, with Game 1 set for 7 p.m. The two clubs will also face off on Saturday evening at 6:30 and on Sunday afternoon at 12:30. Last weekend, the Crabs kept themselves in contention for the Pacific Empire League Championship by sweeping three games against the Medford Rogues. The Crabs won 7-6 on Friday night, 7-5 on Saturday, and 8-4 on Sunday afternoon. Since dropping their first seven conference games, including six straight on the road, the Crabs have rallied to win 14 of their last 19 conference games to put themselves right back in contention. This week also saw the return of former Eureka Logger and College of the Redwoods standout Parker Rogers, who has missed much of the summer season since suffering an injury on opening weekend. Rogers, however, returned with a bang and hit a pair of doubles this week. Also joining the team late in the season was another former Eureka Logger, pitcher Miles Standish, who impressed in his first start of the summer against Medford last weekend. Standish, a 2023 Eureka High graduate who plays for the University of Hawaii, gave up 5 hits and 4 walks and struck out 5 in 4 strong innings, getting a no decision. Elsewhere in local sports this week, the Humboldt Eagles bowed out of the 2024 California 19U American Legion Baseball Area 1 tournament in Fairfield over the weekend to end the local American Legion season. The Eagles dropped their tournament opener to the host team on Thursday by a score of 4-0 before falling 15-2 to Petaluma on Friday in a game that got away from them late. On Saturday, they fell 10-0 to Napa to end their tournament and the 2024 summer season. This summer, the Eagles fielded a very young team on a 19U roster that featured several high school freshmen. But head coach Tommy Gale believes the young players will benefit from that and will be better prepared for the 2025 high school season as a result. The local Little League summer season also concluded this week as the last remaining District 26 team bowed out of the playoffs. Playing at the NorCal State Tournament in Madera, the McKinleyville 12-year-old All-Stars lost for the second time in 3 days to end their participation at the tournament on Monday. McKinleyville fell 10-0 to Napa American. Despite the loss, the young McKinleyville players enjoyed a memorable summer season, winning both the district and section tournament titles. And with big performances from several players all summer, this group of young players clearly has a bright future. The same can be said of three other local teams who won district championships over the past few weeks, including two others from McKinleyville. The McKinleyville Junior All-Stars matched the 12-year-olds by winning a district and section championship. The McKinleyville 10-year-old All-Stars also enjoyed a good summer and took home a district championship, before their season ended at the section tournament in Cottonwood. Likewise with the Redwood Empire 11-year-old All-Stars, who won the district championship and came within an extra inning loss of also claiming a section title and advancing to their NorCal State tournament. And finally this week, former HDNL girls golf champion Avery Henry has received a prestigious award after being named the Aurora University Athletics Woman of the Year. The Arcata High graduate played 4 years with the Spartans in Illinois and is the university's nominee for the 2024 NCAA Woman of the Year Award. And that's this week's KMUD News Sports Report. Until next time, I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com.
That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Michael McCaskill, and thanks to our reporter, Ray Hamill. Reporting from our studio in Redway, I'm Lauren Schmidt.